Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, folks, I don't know about you, but New Year's Eve comes and goes. New Year's Day, King's Day is on January 6th, always the same time. But for some reason or another, I just feel like we're flying through and approaching this Mardi Gras season at a pace that I just simply don't remember. And Arthur Hardy joins us with the Times-Picayune, an editor and publisher of the Mardi Gras Guide. I don't know, Arthur, your thoughts. I just feel like, man, this is coming fast.
Yeah, I'm ready, but we had quite a January 6th with all kind of events. There are things this weekend across the lake in Covington and in Mandeville. We'll talk about that in a second. I wanted to get in a plug for a big event at Barnes & Noble in Metairie tomorrow from 11 to 5. They have 15 different Mardi Gras book authors there signing books, and that's a really big deal. I'm going to lead it off from 11 to 12, be signing our new book, magazines, and if anyone bought a poster they want me to sign, I'd be happy to do that too. And this is something they do every year, and it's a chance for people to meet the folks who created these wonderful products. And I mentioned on the North Shore, the Mandy's King Day Parade rolls out on the lakefront and at the trailhead at 3 o'clock, and it features the Mandy Milkshakers and other groups. Then there's a really neat group in Covington that night called St. John's Fools of Misrule. They go at 6 o'clock. It's a short parade, but it's a whole lot of fun. I can't go there because I have another commitment, but I always make that parade, and it's just neat. It's Mardi Gras at its most basic level, just people having a good time in the street in costumes and throwing things. They have flambeau. Pretty neat group.
I mean, that's truly the beauty of Mardi Gras, though, right? Because you have traditional crews. You have, I don't know what to call it, a hybrid of a traditional crew, right?
Yeah, alternative crews,
Alternative crew. You got these small walking crews. You have these crews that are all about parody and, you know, just having fun and poking fun at everybody. And if you have thin skin, you don't want to go to that parade.
Or if you're a politician at Gallier Hall, I know times when the mayor and a few councilmen will use the restroom when that floats in front of Gallier Hall and then come back out. What did I miss?
You know, it's funny. I mean, haven't been an elected official and had been poked fun at. I enjoyed poking fun at myself and making fun of myself if I saw myself on the side of a float.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you can't take yourself seriously.
It's kind of ridiculous. But the beauty and the point is, there's something for everybody.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, it really is. There's a nice event at the Treme Jazz Museum tomorrow at 1500 Nichols. Governor Nichols Street, the original Seminole Baby Dolls have a banner unveiling. I'm going to be a part of that little ceremony. But speaking of something for everyone, you know, the Baby Dolls, a tradition, goes back to the 1920s and it's been kind of reinvented the last decade or so. And there's several different groups, but just fun for everybody. And if you can't have fun this time of year, every place else up in New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, it's a downer. It's just a warm up act here, you know.
Yeah. You know, this is not Mardi Gras related, but I just wanted to thank the Sugar Bowl committee for putting on the parade that they did. My brother was in town from South Carolina, and we went down to the parade with his kids, and you had all of these Georgia and Ole Miss fans down there, most of whom had never seen anything of a parade of the sort. And we had all of these walking groups, and you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And just to watch the look on their face, and you know, and they started to ask, well, what's behind this and what's behind that? I said, there's no reason for any of this.
We're crazy. That's the reason. And you know,
it's a collective group of people that just want to have fun.
Yeah, there were Mardi Gras floats in that parade, and the Times-Picayune even did like a carnival bulletin showing each of the floats. They stuck that in the newspaper. So yeah, it's Mardi Gras touches all of us, and not just during the season, right?
Right, absolutely. So your thoughts about this Mardi Gras season? I was actually the MC of the Pygmalion Ball Saturday night.
Wow.
They will be
yeah.
rolling into the convention center for the first time this year, and I will be MCing that event the first Saturday of Mardi Gras. Really looking forward to it. I've never done that before. I'm a little nervous, but
yeah.
I am looking forward to it, and
fun.
I think it'll be a lot of
yeah.
fun.
It will, and I just got a news flash that quarterback Tyler Shucks is going to be their grand marshal. I haven't confirmed that, but I think there's a wire report that he will ride in the parade, so that's pretty cool. And if he's not offensive player of the year in the NFL, something's fixed.
Right, yeah. Now, in fact, I know that to be true, and everyone is very, very excited about it. I know that his... His wife is actually due to deliver sometime right in the middle of that Mardi Gras season. So that's going to be interesting as well. But good for him. And it looks like the impression I get from Tyler I don't know him, but people that do know him, he really is embracing all that New Orleans has to give.
That's what I hear. Yeah, yeah. And that doesn't always happen. You know, this is not an easy read. It's really not. And I know of some celebrities that I share with any nameless who either came to be in a parade or moved here. And most of them love it. Most of them get it. But some of them, you know, you eat things you call mud bugs. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Well, Arthur, one of my favorites, and I think he's still attending. I know he did for a long time after he served as King of Bacchus, was Andy Garcia.
Yeah,
Andy Garcia absolutely adores Mardi Gras.
Yep.
And I hope he's still attending because he was such a great King of Bacchus and he's like, I'm coming back every year. Y'all gonna have to kick me out of this
crew. Yeah, he's one of the good guys who really, as you said, he embraced it and it's hard not to, but there's some people who just, I don't know, for whatever reason can't get into it. But most of us, it's just a grand party and all ends on Ash Wednesday, and that's always a bittersweet day for me, and this year particularly more sweet than bitter when I'm going to retire everything except I'll continue to ride in wrecks unless they ask me to leave. But other than that, I'm going to be done. You know, they stopped doing background checks. That's how I got in.
That's how you got in?
Yep.
How many different crews have you participated in and rode on a float in?
None. Other than Rex, when they asked me to run.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah. I was tied down with TV. If you're covering one parade on a live shot, you can't ride.
Right.
In another one. So it made a lot of sense. And, of course, this year I'm riding as co-grand marshal of Endymion, and that's going to be, you know, what a way to end a career. I'm so excited about that. I'm going to get to see the float I'm on tomorrow. And they have doubloons and cups and all with my likeness on it. So, It's a swell send-off. I appreciate Dan Kelly and everybody in the crew for inviting me.
Yeah, they do a heck of a job, got a heck of an organization. And they've just raised the bar for Mardi Gras and float development and so forth in so many different ways. Well, maybe I should ask the question this way, Arthur. After retirement, how many crews mm-hmm. do you intend to ride?
No, I'm giving it all up, but I will be able to go see more parades now. That's never going to stop. You know, I'll do that from a wheelchair if I have to. You know, it never grows old. At some point I thought, come on, this is a business, you know, grow up. But I mean, sincerely, I get excited every year when you see what we used to call the trouble truck, the Nopsy truck come down the street, and then you hear the drums and you hear the sirens, and it's in your blood. You just can't be still. You got to be out there. So I'll see more parades next year in 2027 than I have probably in the last 10 years.
So I got a text here. People want to know where to get a 50-year Arthur Hardy poster.
They're online only so far at storenola.com. That's Nola.com's website. There's all kind of Mardi Gras stuff there. And it's a it's this year's cover of the magazine, the 50th anniversary, and around that that image are all 50 covers from the last half century. So it's pretty neat.
And cool.
Done by David Johnson, our art director, since 1991. And, I mean, he ought to be the one signing it, not me. But I'm happy to put my name on anything, you know.
So let's talk about 2026 Mardi Gras season. I know you have your finger on the pulse of, you know, regulatory stuff from the city perspective or otherwise. Any significant changes?
None that I see. You know, everybody's stored at their full parade routes. We're expecting out-of-town law enforcement to help and National Guard, of course. You know, I've said this before. I'm expecting and will welcome just a regular, ordinary Mardi Gras season without any drama, without any snow, without any tragedies on Bourbon Street. Just regular old Mardi Gras, I think, will be just fine for everybody. And all indications are it will be a nice carnival season. The wild card always is weather. You know, last Fat Tuesday we had the horrible wind predicted, and it came through, luckily, after the parades, which we were fortunately allowed to parade. And we had to do so without bands and a shortened route and all that. But we got it in, and that was really significant. And hats off to Police Chief Kirkpatrick and the mayor who made it happen.
They did.
Mayor did a good job at her final King Cake cutting ceremony and Mardi Gras kickoff celebration at Mardi Gras World Monday, and was very gracious to the crowd and very grateful for all that the crews have done to make this thing happen. You know, it's amazing when you think about these are all autonomous groups that in some ways compete with each other, but in most ways cooperate to make this thing happen. I mean, nobody has to do this, you know. Well, what if all these people said, you know, I'm tired of this, let's just call it off? The city can't make Mardi Gras happen. It can stop it from happening, but it's the citizens that do it every year, and God bless them for doing it.
You know, and I know you've had these conversations with people from out of town who try to understand the concept, the tradition, and everything else. My wife and I ride an Orpheus, and the group that operates our float in Orpheus, they always have out-of-town guests.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we spend like two or three nights with them before Orpheus rolls that whole weekend. We stay down in you know, and visit in the warehouse district, go see all the parades and just kind of watch them grow into Mardi Gras, right? But they still have not been on a float. And so we have our grand day where we're on the float and we finish and we get into the convention center. And I always ask them every year, so tell me, what do you think about Mardi Gras now? And, you know, and it's just amazed the look on their face, their eyes light up, and they're like, I never understood it. And they said, like, I'm not sure I understand it now, but I do want to come back next year and do it again.
I know. Yeah. I mean, we have people who come every year and never leave. We can't get rid of them. You know?
And I just love the reaction. And it was just, you know, really cool. And it's interesting. I was in New York right before New Year's Eve this year. We took my granddaughter to New York, and I had an Indian gentleman from India who lives in L.A. who was doing a documentary. And he's walking up and he's interviewing people in the street. And he walks up to me and he says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. What's up? He goes, tell me why you're here. I said, well, I'm here for this trip, you know, and everything else. And he goes, no. He goes, are you going to be here New Year's Eve evening for the drop of the ball?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I said, no, I'm not. And he goes, well, if you could, would you? I said, well, I've done it before. Would I do it again? No. And he goes, because I'm sitting here wondering how we have all this hoopla over nothing. And I said, well, it's probably a good question. You know, because you got about 10 or 12 seconds of the ball dropping and you standing in these cattle pens for hours on end. But until you experience it and you do it, you know, it's. I told him, I said, it's a lot like Mardi Gras. You can't explain it, but when you do it, you come back every year. And he says, I think I'm going to go to New Orleans and do my filming there this year.
I hope he does. Yeah, it's special, and you know, the memories are forever, and I'm just proud to have been a part of it for so long, and will still be just more as a spectator than as a participant or reporter or whatever I am.
Yeah, no doubt. It was so nothing unusual about any of the crews this year. I know it's been a tough year because of you know, the tariffs and some uncertainty about importation of goods for Mardi Gras. Some challenges there. I had a chance to talk to a number of people with Endymion and other crews. You know, everybody had a little angst and anxiety this year. But there's always a twist and a turn to Mardi Gras, right?
There is, and we're fine. There a couple of notes of interest. Mid-City, which brought back their band contests last year, is bringing back animation this year. I'm interested to see how that works out. The crew of Oshon is under new leadership, and membership is way up. Barry Kern will be doing the floats now. And it's basically the crew has been reborn and reformed, and that's going to be fun to watch. Always interested in seeing what's happening in Metairie. Metairie's been struggling for years, and not because of any lack of attention by city parish government or by the crews themselves. It's just that we have so many parades in New Orleans now and so many opportunities for people to parade there. That membership is down in most of the Metairie clubs. Not all, but most. And I still think the solution is parades on Metairie Road, but for some reason, I mean, we do St. Patrick's Day there. I don't know why we can't do Mardi Gras Day. They're like we used to, you know. But parading on Veterans doesn't have the same appeal as parading on St. Charles Avenue. But Metairie Road does have an appeal. And I think you'd see a real boost in attendance and sizes, membership crews, if that route change was made. But you know that there are a lot of problems with that, with businesses and residences in that neighborhood. And what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that could ever happen?
Oh, I think your characterization is spot on. I think we missed an opportunity. When I first became sheriff, I made a concerted effort and tried to convince the crew captains that we should try to capture the first weekend, that we can't compete with the second weekend. That's a waste of time. And what I find families today, they're not going to pull all of these ladders and ice chests and blankets and kids and, you know, do all of this for a 45-minute show, you know, which is one parade. They're not doing it. They're just not going to do it. They will pack it all up and go uptown and find themselves a place for a 4.5-hour show because they believe they're getting a return on their investment of time, right? And you know, and they get to see a much more larger event because they're going to see 3 or 4 parades.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to buy into that. I said, we should stack our parades on Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend, try that weekend, on the second weekend. Way to compete. I mean, the best of the best that's in Mardi Gras is on the second weekend in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And anybody that says anything otherwise is just not being honest, right?
No.
And, you know, could never convince people to, everybody wants their own night. Everybody wants to be, you know, the lead group that night or the final group that night or whatever. It's, you know, a lot of stuff. It was like herding cats. But I agree. Metairie Road would, I think, is the only opportunity for a resurgence of Mardi Gras.
Yep, and Family Gras in perhaps Metairie. Could move. That's, you know, Family Gras is an important event. Somehow that could be. It could be done if there's the will to do it. But it's going to be a nice year, man. I'm can't wait to get started.
Absolutely, and it's always a pleasure to talk with Arthur Hardy. Thank you so much for joining us, Arthur, and congratulations again on a storied career. So many different
Thank
things.
You.
We have
Thank
really
you.
Enjoyed speaking
you.
With you over the years.
All right,
thank
buddy.
You,
thanks.
Sir. That's Arthur Hardy. You will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Folks, we're joined by Ruth Lawson, president of the Jefferson Chamber. Ruth, welcome to the show and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Noel. Thank you so much for having me today.
You guys just had your 2026 annual meeting out at the Ilario Center. Give us some of the highlights of what you talked about in 2025 and talk to us about some things that you guys are focused on in 2026.
Yeah, so yesterday we wrapped up our annual meeting. We had about 550 business and community leaders out at the Ilario Center. So always a great time to get that many people together, you know, for some networking, but really to focus on our work in 2025 and our shift in our priorities for 2026. 2025 was, you know, a fantastic year, not only for the chamber, but for Jefferson Barish. Kind of some of our big advocacy priorities that we worked on and were able to accomplish a lot and is, you know, I served on the Parish President's Advisory Committee on Permitting and Planning, and you and I have spoken extensively about that process, and I continue to serve on that, so that will bleed into 2026, but really just making it easier to do business in Jefferson Parish. So we conducted a membership survey, made sure that our members' voices were heard, and we'll continue to advocate on that front. We also did some governance changes just to the chamber structure. We launched the West Bank Council with the Jefferson Chamber, really trying to elevate, you know, some of our West Bank priorities, making big, big infrastructure projects and economic development projects over there front of mind with the leaders representing at the state and local and federal level. And then we celebrated, you know, some really exciting economic development opportunities that we participated in this year. Amazon Same Day Delivery Center, the first of its kind in Louisiana, the largest single construction project in Ochsner's history, the Children's Hospital underway. And then, of course, you know, a $500 million investment from Japanese EV battery manufacturer UBE. So we focused a lot on those priorities. We had our largest membership year to date with the Jefferson Chamber. So we're working at over 1,000 members in the greater New Orleans area. We received statewide recognition as the large chamber of the year. And, you know, focused on our state priorities, too. Insurance affordability continues to be our largest, you know, issue of our business members. And so what we worked on the Capitol to, you know, improve that. And then the huge wins that we've had at the state level on economic development. And that's a lot of what we focused on in 2025.
I'm really excited, one, about the membership increasing. You afforded me the opportunity to address your group a month or so ago. And I talked about, you know, the level and the amount of influence that the organization could have, that the representative legislative bodies across the parishes in southeast Louisiana will be passing significant legislation that's going to impact a number of economic sectors of our communities. And you guys really are the local experts, but a lot of times you're not called upon to render an opinion or to give some thoughts or some guidance as to the do's and the don'ts. You have seen it on the private sector side, and I thought it was always of some value, definitely on the governance side in the public sector. Your thoughts about what I had to say, but more importantly, it seems as though you guys are really intending to get out there and do more of that in the future.
Yeah, so I think our biggest perk for our membership is advocating for a better business environment in Jefferson Parish. And we do that, you know, day in and day out, Noel, and this is what you had focused on when talking to our board, which was so well received, but really making sure that our voices are heard. We go to the council meetings when we don't necessarily agree with the direction they're going forward with, or we go to support them for a difficult decision that they might have to make. that we believe is in the best economic interest of Jefferson Parish. And then statewide, you know, we were at the state capitol during the legislative session weekly, you know, sometimes several times a week, making sure that our Jefferson delegation, which I believe is the strongest in the state, knows that they have our support and knows what our members are looking forward in passing of legislation. And then, of course, you know, we go to D.C. at least twice a year. We'll go there in a couple weeks for Washington Mardi Gras, but making sure that our federal delegation is, you know, well aware of our priorities, you know, as they sometimes can get far away from home. Just being in D.C. in general, making sure that our members' interests are well aligned there.
Yeah, for sure. So let's pivot real quick to 2026. What do we see on the horizon?
Yeah, so we'll continue to kind of support locally policies and legislation that help our business climate. So working on that Parish President's Advisory Committee on permitting and planning, you know, it continues to go forward. I still think that there's a lot of work to do to make sure that businesses get open as quickly as possible. Time is money. And so we will continue to work on that and advise. And I think that we've had a lot of positives come out of that permitting and planning committee. But I think there's a lot of work to do, whether, you know, it's additional personnel needed or fast track the ability for companies to fast track their permits, I think would be super helpful as well. And then, you know, at the state level, we continue to look for meaningful insurance and legal reform. You know, I think the legal reform is the big piece that's we got a little bit of progress on the insurance and legal reform last year. And I still think there's a way to go on that, but we'll continue to work on that. And then making sure that we continue to be, I think this is our second year in a row, winning, you know, some huge economic development awards statewide and making sure that our state's well positioned for that. And then, you know, we continue to try and build connecting and networking opportunities for our members, because at the core, that is the chamber, you know, is trying to make your business grow, professional development, and, you know, making your business financially grow as well.
We're speaking with Ruth Lawson, the president of the Jefferson Chamber. Ruth, y'all have collaborated a lot with other chambers in the area, New Orleans and others. Talk to us about that and the importance of same.
Yeah, so we've actually been, I speak to a lot of our chamber leaders. I serve on the State Chamber Association as the chair-elect, and, you know, I just got off a board meeting for that, but what are issues facing our state, but regionally, you know, the president of the New Orleans Chamber, we speak a lot to Sandra Lindquist, and really our focus this year is capitalizing on a new mayor for the city of New Orleans, and making sure that Jefferson and New Orleans are acting regionally. And so we're hoping to kind of get together some events, work with them on programming and events that could really get together our leaders and make an effort that has not been there recently to focus on regional collaboration.
That's been a little disappointing, too, because we know that it would be more positive than negative, but, you know, for certain, if we were able to collaborate, because our issues are very similar in nature.
Correct. Yeah, and I think, you know, Sandra and I have talked a lot about, we've spoken to our respective, you know, she's spoken to the mayor, Mayor-elect Moreno, and I've spoken to Parish President Lee Shang, and, you know, the council members, to really talk about getting them together with business leaders, because a lot of these businesses, you know, most of our businesses have locations both in New Orleans or Jefferson, or we have a lot of members who live in Jefferson, work in New Orleans, or vice versa. And so it really is, you know, as Jefferson goes, New Orleans goes, and vice versa, as New Orleans goes, Jefferson goes. So I think that it's only positive that we work together.
Yeah. Final thoughts?
Yeah, we're excited. We rebranded the entire chamber yesterday. So we just have a beautiful modern rebrand, a new website that I think really represents the work that we're doing in the future, and making our website more adaptable to our membership and showing kind of what we do best, which is our advocacy, our connection, and our growth for our members. And so we couldn't be more excited for 2026. And we released that yesterday. And then lastly, we are also going to be hosting a regional Civics Bee in partnership with the U.S. Chamber of Foundation to really focus on middle schoolers, 6th, 7th, and 8th, building their civics understanding, and then giving them the opportunity to go to the federal, you know, to go to Washington, D.C., and the opportunity to win a $100,000 scholarship compete there amongst 50 other states.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations to you guys on the rebranding, and best of luck in 2026. And thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to talk to our audience. Ruth Lawson, President, Jefferson Chamber.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Lines.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Stay with us. Folks, there's a lot going on this weekend, too. And just a reminder for everyone, we will be providing coverage of the inauguration. Dave Cohen and myself will be at the Sanger, and we'll start on air at 8:10 a.m. To 8:30, and we'll be talking back and forth with Tommy. We'll try to get some interviews with some folks as they're walking in to the Sanger in order to get to their seats for a 9 a.m. start. And we'll have a couple of news breaks there, and then we're going to air the entirety of the inauguration ceremony, which includes the council members that will be sworn in, and that will be from 9 to 10:30 and uninterrupted. And then from 10:30 to 11, Dave and I will wrap it up with just a couple of breaks, and we'll talk about what we've seen. We'll talk about the nature of the energy in the room, what we're hearing from folks and the like. Very excited about the coverage that we're going to be providing. So tune in on 870 or 105.3 FM, and we look forward to it. And we have a group of folks that are going to be involved: Luke Augusta, Jordan Fiegel, Nathan Rizzuti, and Coleman, and so many others working on this endeavor. And we're really excited about putting it on under the leadership of Diane Newman and Dan Barron and others. So it's going to be quite the day. It's a new start, a new beginning. This could be very transformational for the city. I like what I hear so far. There will be missteps for certain, but we have to be patient. These problems are not going to be resolved all very quickly. I just want to point that out. And I've said this many times about what Mayor-elect Moreno has had to say, is that one of the toughest things is going to be managing expectations. We didn't get to where we were overnight, and we're not going to unwind this overnight either, unfortunately. And it would be nice, it would be great if we could, but that's not going to happen. There are a lot of moving parts that have to be addressed. And one thing that struck me that she said the other day, and we had it in our news, folks used it in the news section, where she said it was eye-opening about the breadth and depth, basically, of what they did not know. And that covers a lot of territory, both what they thought they knew, and then once it totally revealed itself, what they thought was there, that picture was entirely different. And then just plain old not knowing any of what is being revealed at certain points in time leading up through this transition. And I said then, I'll say it again now, I said, well, that's pretty scary. Because you wonder after 10, 15, 30 days in, what else is there? You know, there's going to be a lot. If you've already experienced a lot, there's going to be a lot more that you've not been told. And it will be interesting to see as they try to herd all this information, make some sense out of it, put it into an actionable plan that makes sense. You will probably see a modification of the budget multiple times this year, which is a good exercise, quite frankly. It's an educational exercise. It's a good transparency exercise. I think it will help minimize angst and anxiety in the public, because I do believe that Mayor-elect Moreno is going to be a lot more transparent about these issues. And I think she has a strong desire that if I'm just learning of it for the first time, you're going to be standing there side by side with me. And I kind of like that approach. I think it's a good approach. I think it's a smart approach on her part, because in large measure, they didn't create any of these problems, especially the ones that I don't know about and the ones that yet to learn about. So the happiest day in maybe the next 100 days might be Monday for all of them, as they're sworn in on Monday. And they're, you know, having been through that process, it's very exciting. You know, you feel that kind of sense of accomplishment coming out of a campaign and pulling friends together and celebrating it with friends and supporters. People get very invested in campaigns, thankfully. They believe in their candidate, and they believe that their candidate can be the best person to move the city forward, the place that we call home. That's all we want, right? A safe place to live, work, raise our family, the place that we call home. It's cliche, but it's so true. It is so true. And the vast majority of folks, almost 100%, are all working towards that same endeavor. Now, we may take a different path than one another, but that's the ball that we all have our eye on. And with some of the fiscal issues that we have, we just have to be patient. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we're going to visit with Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. The December jobs report was released this morning, and we'll work our way through that report in order to determine what it reveals. And in the back half of this hour, we'll visit with Mark Fry, reporter with WCCO News Talk 830 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll talk about the ICE protests and the shooting that occurred there in Minneapolis. He's got eyes on the scene, and we'll find out what he thinks about what's going on there. So stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL.